The following episode of K-Voice was recorded at 12:41 a.m., December 12th, 2017. Things may have changed by the time you listen to this show. Enjoy the show.
K-Voice of Resistance!
Listen very carefully, Mr. Ryan, Mr. McConnell, and your greed-filled ilk. We, the people of the United States, are mobilizing. My sisters and brothers are rising up together to fight against the attack that you are giving to our people.
Word of the wise. Don't mess with an Appalachian great-grandma. You're gonna lose.
And we will not yield until our people are free from the money changers and those who worship money and power. We the people see your tax scam for what it is, and we will overcome. Stay tuned, Paul and Mitch. We are coming for you.
Hi, thank you for listening to K, Voice of Resistance. I'm Kelly. Your 30 minutes of resistance news starts now. First, let's check in with Congress and see what no good, very bad things they're up to now. We have 9 more legislative days to reach a long-term spending deal and finalize the GOP tax scam. The Welfare for the Rich bill.
The Senate voted to rob the working middle class and the working poor, the elderly, our children, students, and veterans, to further enrich the filthy rich and large corporations. These so-called Christians say they follow the teachings of Jesus. They do not. They worship at the altar of money and power and hold tight to the philosophy of Ayn Rand. They lie and say they worship at the altar of Christ. In fact, they kneel and bend their knees and kiss the rings of the Koch brothers and other billionaire donors who are hell-bent on smashing the 99%.
9 days to ensure Democrats hold the Republicans' feet to the fire on stabilizing the healthcare markets and passing a clean DACA bill.
We will set records in terms of the number of judges.
This week, the Senate is likely to confirm Omaha attorney Steve Graz to be a U.S. Circuit Court judge for the 8th Circuit. Steve Graz, who the American Bar Association deemed not qualified and questioned his ability to set aside ideological convictions to decide cases fairly. Great! Another asshole judge. And yes, this is yet another lifetime appointment specifically geared to ruin people's lives. The ABA's assessment was based in part on evaluating Graz's writings, as well as more than 200 interviews with people in a position to evaluate his professional qualifications. 200. The Human Rights Campaign says that L. Stephen Graz served on the board of a nonprofit that backed the abusive practice of conversion therapy on LGBTQ minors, and was unwilling to clarify his own views during his confirmation hearing. Graz said that the language protecting people on the basis of sexual orientation opened the door for protections for pedophiles and argued that Nebraska should not recognize marriage equality in other states. And, unsurprisingly, he's also opposed allowing same-sex parents to adopt. Last month, the Human Rights Campaign worked to aim a spotlight on 5 federal judicial nominees: Jeff Mathier, Damon Schiff, L. Stephen Graz, Mark Norris, and Stephen Schwartz. If confirmed by the Senate,
which they will be,
the nominees could seriously threaten the future of LGBTQ equality in America. Elections have consequences. Once again, to everybody who didn't vote, your LGBTQ brothers and sisters are collateral damage. The ABA has deemed at least 4 of Donald's judicial nominees not qualified. And
when the history books are written about the Trump administration, I believe perhaps the most long-lasting and significant legacy will be the men and women appointed and confirmed to the federal bench.
Ted Cruz, who could possibly be unseated as the most hated man in the Senate if Roy Moore gets elected, has this to say about the ABA. Quote, "The ABA's record on judicial nominations has been highly questionable. It has demonstrated over the past decades repeatedly partisan interest, an ideological interest." Unquote. No, Cruz. The ABA chooses qualified judges. Qualified judges tend to rule fairly, and fair rulings tend to not be what the Republican Party wants,
you hateful cretin.
And Jeff Flake, who's really just a waste of space in the Senate and sits on the Judiciary Committee, said that he's not a big fan of the ABA. Well, he and the other Republicans are also not big fans of gay people, black people, and any other minority in the United States. They are positively giddy about these activist judges who will be poised to thwart progress in the United States for decades to come. The Senate has confirmed two of Donald's environmental nominees. Which, of course, as we have learned, if it's a nominee, it's been made sarcastically. The Senate last Thursday confirmed Joseph Baelish to be Assistant Secretary of the Interior. Susan Bodine, the nominee to lead the EPA's Enforcement and Compliance Office, was approved by a voice vote soon after. Joe Baelish will be Assistant Interior Secretary for Land and Minerals Management. He will oversee a wide swath of the interior, including the Bureau of Land Management and the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management. Baelish says he's a consensus builder, a guy who likes to bring all sides to the table. He also said, and here's the rub, that he's fully committed to listening to people affected by the EPA's decisions and really taking what they say into account.
Boo, you suck!
On climate change, he says, quote, "I believe that climate change is not a hoax and that man has an influence," unquote. But don't be encouraged by this small admission of human involvement here. This guy's a snake. In 2014, under Joe Baelish's leadership, the Alaska Department of Natural Resources sent a letter to the Bureau of Land Management laying claim to 20,000 acres in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. The Alaskan Department of Natural Resources requested the BLM to, quote, give priority conveyance of the lands to the state under provisions of the Alaska Statehood Act, unquote, which allowed Alaska to select up to 103 million acres of federal lands. Baelish said that it was his hope, quote, that the BLM would move quickly to convey the lands so that we can offer them for leasing, unquote. Joe Baelish, in 2011, testified before Congress to support a bill in expedite oil and gas leasing to energy infrastructure permitting in the Natural Petroleum Reserve in Alaska. Joe Baelish in 2013 advocated for Arctic National Wildlife Refuge exploration by asking the Fish and Wildlife Service to allow seismic studies in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. In 2013, Joe Baelish was a key player on the bill to lower oil taxes. In 2014, Joe Baelish approved a lower royalty rate for those leases operated by an oil company. And in 2014, Joe Baelish accompanied BP officials to Asia on the first formal sales trip for Alaska LNG project. So, great. Love you and everything you do, Republicans. You're just the best. Oh, yeah. And Donald's pick for EPA enforcement office was a lobbyist for Superfund polluters.
God damn it!
Yeah, Susan Bodine previously served for the EPA as an assistant administrator for solid waste and emergency response during the last 3 years of then-presidents George W. Bush's administration. She does have plenty of experience with environmental issues, though most of it in representing polluting industries. While at Barnes & Thornburg, a law firm, Bodine represented an American Forest and Paper Association from 2011 to 2014. Member companies in that industry group have hundreds of EPA enforcement actions against them, including the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act.
Oh, God damn it.
So, yay! This Senate has got to go.
Food stamps, otherwise known as SNAP benefits. 1 in 8 Americans receive them, and they aren't cheap for the feds. They cost the federal government about $70 billion annually. But they're crucial and a successful anti-poverty program. Well, last Tuesday, our newish Republican USDA issued a letter that heralds a new era in the administration of food stamp programs, called SNAP, by the states. The letter to state food stamp coordinators offered, quote, greater flexibility and customer service, unquote. According to a report by Politico, greater flexibility will allow states to include drug testing of SNAP recipients and expand work requirements. Republican Governor Scott I Bankrupted My State Walker in Wisconsin announced his intention to institute mandatory drug testing for all adult SNAP recipients, which, by the way, is really expensive.
And works mainly just to shame these people more than anything.
Anyways, Walker, he's tried to do this in the past, but he was blocked under the Obama administration.
The good administration.
And work requirements. The SNAP program already has work requirements. Over 58% of recipients nationwide work. And the majority of those who do not are ineligible due to age or disability. However, states are allowed to waive the requirement if unemployment is high. The administration has already floated the idea of restricting those waivers, requiring more people to find whatever employment in economically depressed areas they can, or be kicked off the rolls. The letter said that measures allowed under the new flexible guidelines will be announced in coming weeks.
You guys think any Republican voters are on these benefits?
Merry Christmas, everyone!
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King.
We have good news. The Pentagon will allow transgender people to enlist in the military beginning January 1st. Donald's administration must accept transgender recruits into the military thanks to Judge Colleen Collar Coatley of the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia, a federal judge, who ruled Monday that no one will be irreparably injured by allowing the accession of transgender people into the military. Of course, the administration is appealing, but this is yet another time when the courts have proved to be in the resistance. For now. Women are pissed. I don't know if anyone has noticed, but women ain't having it anymore. Well, not all women. Many women on the right are downright fighting to continue to take it. They're hoping that women will just shut the hell up and enjoy men's attentions in whatever way they come. Like in Alabama. But maybe that is being disingenuous. There are many on the left fighting as well. And there are also many women on both sides that want something in between the extremes. Something measured and proportionate. Equal punishments to offenses. The Me Too movement is amazing, and it is giving people a lot to think about on the left and the right, for men and for women. I'm in a few secret Facebook groups that are comprised of women, and the conversations that have been going on since Leon Tweeden accused Al Franken have been intense, varied, deep, and constant. The conversations are thorough and generally well-written, thought out, and void of insults, with few instances of sarcasm or dismissal of the other's argument. In general, when a woman brings up a point, it's backed up with a link to the sourcing info. Women are talkers. We are literally built to process language better than men. Scientific American says that scientific literature has been littered with studies over the past 40 years documenting the superior language skills of girls. Researchers report in the Journal of Neuropsychologia say that the answer lies in, quote, the way words are processed. Girls completing a linguistic abilities task showed greater activity in brain areas implicated specifically in language encoding, which decipher information abstractly, unquote. There are also studies that show that male hormones, specifically testosterone, is partly responsible for the difference. They ran a test before, during, and after transgender people, raising their testosterone level in order to transition from women to men. And, quote, according to the results, the transgender men who took the added testosterone showed a decrease in brain matter in two key brain segments, the Broca's and the Wernicke's areas. Both of those areas in the brain are associated with language and processing, unquote. When analyzing groups and teams of people, they find in general the more successful and smarter teams are better at solving visual puzzles and also tend to be good at brainstorming and beating computers in video games. Neither the average intelligence of the group nor the smartest person in the group had much to do with the group's success. Smart people do not necessarily make smart groups. The single most important element of smart groups, according to the researchers, was their average social sensitivity. That is, the best groups were also the best at reading the nonverbal cues of their teammates. And since women score higher on this metric of emotional intelligence, teams with more women tended to be better teams.
That's right!
In a follow-up study, they found that women are better at reading the mind, even online, when they can't see their teammates' faces. The Atlantic summarizes that the rules of empathy hold both on and off lines. Emotionally sensitive people are gifted at reading between the lines, whether the literal lines are a twitch of the lip or a text message. And having little to do with my point that I started with, the Atlantic piece I was reading poses the idea that maybe one day the gender pay gap may not only close, but that women will ultimately, on average, earn more than men. Something that had never even occurred to me to imagine. They say, quote, "First, women earn the majority of the bachelor degrees, master's degrees, and PhDs. The historical relationship between higher education and earnings is simple. Those who learn more, earn more. This advantage will continue to enrich women in the labor force. Second, if you look at the direction of job growth, brawny, muscly jobs like construction and manufacturing are in structural decline. While the fastest growing jobs, both in low pay and in the white collar world, require softer skills, where men have no physical advantage. Third, men have innate disadvantages in collaborative work settings, like the emotional illiteracy alluded to in these studies." Unquote. So back to my original point. This is all a long way of illustrating that women are doing something they are scientifically better at than men. They are talking, and it is intense. The Me Too movement is something that I'm not sure people saw coming, and no one could have been prepared for the way in which it turns long-standing norms on their heads. It's exposed outrageous norms, such as taxpayer slush funds from which men can pool and have been pooling from to pay off women they sexually harass, mistreat, or assault. The Me Too movement is empowering women to speak up and out. It is posing questions like, were the supposedly left-leaning journalists who have been outed as sexual harassers also the ones who sunk their teeth into the Hillary email quote-unquote scandal? Like dogs with a Christmas bone. Halperin, Thrush, Lizza, Rose, Lauer.
Who, if you remember, lowered the bar of debate and softballed Donald while hammering Hillary, interrupting her relentlessly over the emails in a foreign policy debate.
Did they do so? Sacrifice their journalistic integrity like that because they were sexist asshats? Possibly. And on the Al Franken situation, there is a lot to weigh for everyone on our side of the aisle. And in my opinion, there are no easy answers. I'm anything but a black and white thinker. To me, fairly easy answers are something I rarely have. But whatever my thoughts and feelings are over the Franken situation, one thing that I am clear on is the importance of the movement. And I am precious about my hope, my need for its success. This is why recent events have upset me so much and worried me. I am so afraid that we have, or Democrats have, maybe women have, or all the above, have already jumped the shark. Barry Weiss, who writes for the New York Times, wrote an opinion piece that spoke to one of my fears. Quote, "I believe that the believe all women vision of feminism unintentionally fetishizes women. Women are no longer human and flawed. They are truth personified. They are above reproach. I believe that it is condescending to think that women and their claims can't stand up to interrogation and can't handle skepticism. I believe that facts serve feminists far better than faith, that due process is better than mob rule." Unquote. I think she's right. And at the same time, I also believe that due process does not mean provable in court. I mean that a process that proves reasonable credibility, like when the New York Times brings forward a victim, like they did for a victim of Donald's. They verify that victim's credibility first. each accuser should be able to stand up to at least that test. I believe that each situation is unique and must be taken as such. I also believe that we shouldn't be saying that every woman should be believed, but maybe that every woman should be heard, assumed credible, and then proven credible. I also do not believe that a man's life should be torn apart until that credibility has been verified. I do not mean credibility as to show how many guys they have slept with in the past or anything like that, but in things such as corroborating witnesses, evidence if there is any, and veracity of their statements taken into account as distinctly as possible. Women are talking, and there is much to analyze here. And the consequences are, they're real. For example, Democrat House Representative John Conyers, who resigned over his using that I'm an asshole, please pay off these women for me, sexual harasser slush fund, has resigned from the House. And the asshole governor, Rick Snyder, who is the very same one who's responsible for poisoning the water in Flint, Michigan, and deserves to be in jail, well, he is refusing to see anyone in that seat for 11 months. God, Republicans play dirty. It's time that Democrats start doing so too. A statement which I half believe in, I don't know. So we've lost a vote in the House, and Franken's seat is by far a guarantee to be won by a Democrat. Democratic Governor Mark Dayton will appoint a replacement, possibly Lieutenant Governor Tina Smith. So yay, a woman. She'll hold the seat through 2018 midterm elections. A special election will take place in 2018 to determine who will hold the seat until the regularly scheduled election in 2020. Whether Dayton's pick runs in 2018 or not, the eventual Democratic candidate will likely be favored to win the race. Though, according to 538, it's not a sure thing. Minnesota has become redder since 2006. Really, Hillary beat Donald by only 1.5 points. Minnesota is a purple state. Back in 2008, which was a very good year for Democrats, Franken first won his Senate seat by just 312 votes.
312!
And the state has gotten more red! Yeah. So, yeah, there are many conversations happening. Important conversations. Conversations that have needed to happen for decades. Now, finally, the Me Too spotlight is turning back to Donald and his past conduct. Several of his accusers are urging Congress to investigate his behavior, and a number of Democratic lawmakers are demanding resignation.
It's about time.
Frankly, I'm profoundly disappointed in the Democrats who so readily made Franken resign, but had not and still have not came out and asked Donald to resign. It is not going to make him resign or anything, but the president needs to be held to the same damn standard as everyone else. It's the least they can do.
Rise up for the women of the world, for the women of the world, rise up!
Roy Moore, Alabama senatorial candidate, serial pedophile, and guy who really put the court back in food court, Roy Moore. Roy Moore is in the news. Like, all over the news. Today, Tuesday, is, or I guess depending on when you're listening to my show, probably was, the Alabama special election to fill Jefferson Beauregard Sessions' Senate seat. Democrat Doug Jones, an attorney who convicted the KKK for the 1963 church bombing that killed four girls, is running against an accused child molester.
Good old boy, Roy Moore.
A child molester who, and I can't make this up, recently gave an interview with a 12-year-old girl. Yeah, for real. A 12-year-old girl. The pro-Trump super PAC set it up.
So what do you think are the characteristics of a really, really good senator?
Following the Constitution.
Funny thing about that devotion he has to the Constitution. He violated the Constitution by getting himself kicked off the bench. He was a judge for violating the separation between church and state. Moore also loves the Constitution so much that he wants to do away with the 17th Amendment, which calls for the direct election of senators by voters rather than state legislatures, the 14th Amendment, which was passed during the Reconstruction period following the Civil War and guaranteed citizenship and equal rights and protection to former slaves, also the amendments incorporated into the Constitution after the 10th Amendment expanded civil rights protections guaranteed by the Bill of Rights. They include the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery, the 15th Amendment, which included the 13th Amendment, and the 15th Amendment, which prohibits the federal and state governments from denying citizens the right to vote based on that person's race, and the 19th Amendment, which extended suffrage to women. He doesn't believe that Muslims should be allowed to serve in the Senate. He believes homosexuality should be outlawed, and that free speech only applies to Christians. He recently implied that George Soros was going to hell because of his Jewish faith, but don't worry about that, because his wife assured us at a Monday Night Frolly that he is not a bigot because they have a Jewish lawyer.
Fake news would tell you that we don't care for Jews. I tell you all this because I've seen it all, so I just want to set the record straight while they're here. One of our attorneys is a Jew.
Oh, and he's also said that America was right during slavery. I could go on. And if you doubt any of the statements I just made, because they just sound too crazy and extreme, just Google it. It's all there. Here he is in an interview with The Guardian. He's responding to whether or not Russia is the focus of evil in the modern world, as Saint Reagan said.
You could say that very well about America, couldn't you?
Do you think?
Well, we promote a lot of bad things, you know.
Like?
Same-sex marriage.
That's the very argument that Vladimir Putin makes.
Well, then maybe Putin is right. Maybe he's more kin to me than I know.
What would you say to him?
Здравствуйте, как вы поживаете сегодня?
Oh, yeah. And apparently, this Alabama man studied Russian back in the day. I don't know how this election is going to go. The good news is, either way it goes, it is bad for the Republicans. Our long-term win is Roy Moore wins and becomes an albatross around the neck of the party in 2018 and 2020. Our short-term win is Doug Jones wins and we have another vote to help prevent their tax bill from passing, the repeal of Obamacare, and whatever horrible things they come up with. So we'll see. Let us hope Alabama surprises us and shows us their better side. There are Democrats in Alabama. There really are. Hey guys, the FCC's vote on net neutrality is the 14th. That's the 14th of this week. Leading up to that day, we are taking action. Go to breaktheinternetprotest.org. Tweet, change your avatar picture, call Congress, call Congress, call Congress. Congress has stopped the vote before, and they can stop it again. You know how, like, you hate how you have to choose a cable package and you can only get certain stations and not get other stations and you have to pay more and there's all these fees and no package is really perfect and so everyone just gets angry and has to give it up? Well, that's what the internet is going to turn into if this happens. And you can't just give up the internet like you can cable. So this is serious. Call 202-759-7766. This is our last chance. Go to breaktheinternetprotest.org. That's all my time. Thank you for sticking with me and this episode of K, Voice of Resistance. You can stream or download the show on crabdiving.com under the Crab Diving tab or on your favorite podcasting app. I'm also on citizentruth.org. Follow me on Twitter at Kelly the Voice and on Facebook, where you'll find all the stories I've discussed on this show and more on K Voice of Resistance. If you want to laugh and rage with your liberal progressive news, I suggest checking out the Crab Diving Podcast with host Patrick Vile and comedian Ryan Pfeiffer. 2 hours a day, Monday through Friday. Okay, take care of yourselves out there. And as always, resist.
Resist!
Rise up for the women of the world, for the women of the world, rise up! Rise up for the women of the world, for the women of the world.